I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. And let's get to Acts chapter 4. We're going to use this verse as somewhat of a launch pad into a little study tonight of a certain individual that I hope will be an encouragement and a help to you as you continue the ministry that God's led you to and called you into. And today I want to look at one man that we would know as Barnabas. And I want you to look here in Acts chapter 4. I know it is your habit to do so, so if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read our text today. We'll read it, then we'll pray, then we'll unpack this man's life for a few minutes together. Acts chapter 4, there's a lot of verses we could read, but let's just read verse 36 and verse 37. Here's what it says. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us your word, and in your word, preserving for us the stories of these kinds of men who are examples to us. And I pray tonight as we strive and endeavor to be a people of encouragement, I pray that we would learn from the life of Barnabas, and that you would inspire us this way. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest things that can be said of a Christian, in my opinion, is that they are an encourager. The best example of an encourager, I believe, or one of the premier examples of an encourager in the Bible, is this man named Barnabas. Barnabas was such an encourager that his nickname given to him by his peers and some significant men, the apostles in fact, was the son of consolation. Now we know, if you understand the word consolation, that it can also be translated as to exhort. The word is parakaleo. It literally means to come alongside of. Carries with it the idea of comfort, encouragement. The idea of urging someone or encouraging someone to take action. Barnabas was a man of such character and such of a life that the men who were the spiritual leaders in the first century church looked at that guy and they said, that guy is an encourager. I find that that's something that, according to the Word of God, is what God's plan is for all of us. We can read that throughout the Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God comforts us. So that with that comfort or that exhortation, we can then turn and encourage or console others. 1 Timothy 4:13, right up there with reading and doctrine, Paul told Timothy to give heed and attendance to exhortation, to encouragement. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. And I could go on and on. And I think of that word encouragement, that coming alongside of one another to help them accomplish a certain task. And often my mind goes back to my honeymoon. When I married Angela, we went off to Hawaii and spent about a week in Kauai. And it rained for 6 straight days. And we got one sunny day on the 7th day. So we got out on the sailboat and we got burnt like a lobster. We figured if we get one day of sun, we're going to get a whole week's worth in one day. And so we went on the boat and we went snorkeling. Well, if you've ever been snorkeling, you understand that it can be a new experience for us land dwellers. And Angela wasn't thrilled about the idea of sticking her face in water and trying to breathe out of a tube. And so instead of swimming, she chose to grab onto me and pull me close to her. And instead of us swimming together, really all she did is she dragged me underwater, water coming into my snorkel, and me jumping up, spewing out water. Well, all of that to say, what she needed there in this uncharted territory was her husband, the man, the snorkeling man, to come alongside of her and encourage her to do something that she'd never done before. I know it's a silly illustration of the fact, but that's exactly the picture, I believe, that we see from this idea of consolation, to come alongside of, to encourage, to catch the vision and invest into it. And I believe that's exactly what God's will is for Lancaster Baptist Church and for you as a member and minister of this great church. There are few things more influential on a person than encouragement. One man said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you, but encourage me and I will not forget you." In fact, I think we would all agree that some of the fondest memories we have of a person is that time they encouraged us when we were struggling. I think of Dr. Chappell just mentioning his grandma, Edith. And Edith Chappell, for 7 years, has been my greatest encourager. And she is opinionated, but she is the sweetest encourager. Every Sunday, she'd come out and she would shake my hand and she would say, "Pastor, we love you." And I worked my way up her prayer list. I started, I think, at the bottom. And by the time now 7 years has passed, she now tells me she prays for me right there at the top of her list with her grandsons. And she's an encourager and coming alongside of people and catching the vision. I believe that that's what God wants us to be. And so I look at this man, Barnabas, and I say, if God wants us to be encouragers, if God wants us to be exhorters and people of consolation, then let's take a look at a man that is one of the premier examples of encouragement in the Bible. And that brings our attention to this man named Barnabas. Now, we're going to take a journey for a few minutes and expound the life of Barnabas. And we're going to look at five ministries, if you will, five characteristics of this man that gave him the nickname the Encourager. Notice with me, if you would, here in chapter 4, that the very first way I see that Barnabas was an encourager is that he encouraged by sacrificial stewardship. Barnabas sacrificially gave to the work of the Lord. Now, we read that in verse 37, right after the words of his nickname were given, says there in verse 37 that he, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, there were some people in need, and the only ones who could really help was the church there in that first century. Barnabas had the ability and he had the desire to help these people, so he was one of the first to give what he could to fulfill the vision of the first century church. The point is not that only the money was what he gave, but the fact that he was willing to give whatever it took to accomplish that which God called that church to do. And I want to say this to you for a second, if I may. That last week, I sat over in this back section at the leadership conference, and I heard men preach, but I understood that behind all of this was a church body that captured the vision of the call of God at this church and said, we will give time, we will give money, we will give effort so that we might be an encouragement. And can I say that I, for one, sat back there encouraged because of the sacrificial giving of a church body here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to thank you. And I want you to be inspired and understand that if you have not chosen to pour yourself into sacrificially giving of the gifts and the abilities that God's given you, then do it. There's nothing better than to be an encouragement in that way. And we see this all throughout the book of Acts, this encouragement through sacrificial giving. In fact, the Corinthian church was encouraged by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 by sharing with them the example of the Macedonian church, that in spite of the fact that they didn't have much to give, they gave a lot. You'll never regret sacrificially giving to the work of the Lord. I am often encouraged from a man named Jim Elliott, who had a very short and I would say a very small numerical ministry in his respective field. However, when Jim Elliott died on the bank of a river killed by the people he went to see saved, and he sacrifices all for God, his encouragement that he gives me, I find, was the attitude that he possessed that was expressed best when he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So thank you. Thank you for giving. And let me say, give. Give more. Give of yourself. Support the vision of the man in the church that God's brought here so that men like me can continue to go out and be encouraged by the work that you're doing. He encouraged by sacrificially giving and stewardship to the work. Secondly, I want you to flip ahead with me in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 9. And I want you to see that in the second place, I find that Barnabas encouraged by unconditional friendship. Now, he unconditionally loved a new convert that most people were skeptical of. Let's read the story, Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And you know your Bible, what's going on in Acts chapter 9. And you know that here, one of the most evil opponents of the early church was now converted, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was probably the modern day equivalent to maybe, let's say, Osama bin Laden. He did not like Christians. In fact, we read in Acts chapter 26 that he did everything he could to fight against the church. Yet in Acts chapter 9, God graciously and miraculously saved him on his road to Damascus, and now he is a preacher of the gospel. Well, where does he go? Well, he shows up on the apostles' doorstep. And we pick up that story in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he desired, or was headed to join himself to the disciples. But naturally so, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They said amongst themselves, let's assume, that guy's he's not really converted. He's just trying to get into our body so he can drag us out into the streets and destroy us and kill us. Well, guess what happened in verse 27? But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. After Saul was converted, he tried to unite himself to other disciples, and they hesitated. But there was a man who was willing to look past a lot of the past of Saul of Tarsus and was willing to say, you know, he may be different than us, and he may have some quirks about him and some past hesitancies about him, but I want you to know that I have witnessed the fact that this guy is miraculously saved. And when Saul of Tarsus needed a friend, guess who was there? Amen. Barnabas. I went through college for 4 years, and I learned a lot from Brother Houck and Dr. Chapel and many other people. But isn't it funny how sometimes the weirdest things stick with you? And I remember probably maybe the greatest thing I learned because of the way I've remembered it is a statement that Dr. Chapel made one day. And that is this: the gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. You ever heard that statement? And I think that there's truth to that. And aren't you glad that there is a church body that doesn't smash the strange bugs that come to the gospel light, but loves them and nurtures them and disciples them and says, yes, right now there are some hesitancies maybe about the way you look or how they talk, but praise God, there's a gracious church. There was a gracious man who said, I'm going to put my arm around this guy. I'm going to love this guy. He's a new convert, and there's some differences about him, but I'm telling you, I'm going to get behind him. And can I say that I've got to believe that the encouragement from Barnabas did a lot to motivate Paul in the future ministry that he had. In fact, that's pure religion, according to James. Pure and undefiled. And that is to visit the fatherless and the widows. And I believe that in the sense of that verse is to say, those who can't reimburse you. Those who don't have what you might think are the greatest investments to bring to the church. Yet, here he is, Barnabas, loving an unlovable guy, putting his arms around a new convert. What a blessing. Thank you for doing that and setting that example for young preachers like me to see. I remember many times seeing Brother Downey through school and other men putting their arms around bus kids and leading them up the aisle to be baptized and to trust Jesus Christ. And what an encouragement. And I say, don't stop. Don't stop loving unconditional friendship and new converts. Let me show you a third thing if I can. Go with me to Acts chapter 11. I want you to see another instance where Barnabas showed incredible grace in being an encourager. And that's in Acts chapter 11. There's now a revival breaking out in this first century in Antioch. Now, if we know the story and the history of really what's happening, Antioch wasn't your typical Jewish town. It wasn't where most of the leaders of the Jerusalem church thought that a revival would take place. Well, revival took place, and I've got to believe that some of the leaders were a little skeptical. You know, those liberal Gentiles over there at Antioch, they can't really be doing something great for God. I mean, God really can't be showing up. Well, they sent Barnabas to check things out. Barnabas, go check it out. And Let us know what's happening. Well, I think that from this verse, we're going to see that he encouraged by humble partnership. Now, look what he says in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now get verse 23, very important. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, get it, was glad and exhorted. There's that word. He encouraged them all. Why or how? That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Here's what it's saying. God's doing something here. And I'm going to encourage you guys to stay with it. He sends word back to the apostles and he says, guys, this is great. God's doing something in Antioch. And we're not threatened by God doing something in Antioch. And we're not threatened by another ministry growing. And we're not threatened by God using somebody great in another city. And we're not threatened by the fact that, yeah, they might be a lot of Gentiles and not all the Jews that we thought they might be. But can I tell you, God is doing something. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the church that can support a vision of young preachers that go out and want to see people saved and get excited when God does something. And that's exactly what this church was doing. One man recognized he saw the grace of God. Barnabas saw the grace of God. And these are brothers, he says, and sisters, and we need to get with them. He wasn't a divider and a wall builder, but he was a bridge builder to a ministry that likewise had the grace of God poured out upon it. Person who can rejoice in another's success is the kind of person who understands the ministry of encouragement. I think that not only amongst other ministries, I see it amongst church members. When God blesses a man and God blesses a family and God blesses another Sunday school class and God blesses a ministry and we get excited about it because no matter what really the ultimate end is, God is glorified, the gospel is preached, and people are getting saved. And so instead of dividing, instead of Barnabas saying, you know what, they do things a little different down here in Antioch. Instead of saying things like, well, they're just not quite like us in Jerusalem. He said, you know what, God's grace is evident here. And we need to get behind these guys because this is great. And I thank you for doing that. Thank you for honoring pastors around America who you've seen do something for God. I thank you for honoring those who are doing things for God in other ministries and encouraging them by humbly partnering with them. What a blessing. I want you to see a fourth thing. Would you with me? I want you to see, and right here in chapter 11, we'll stay. But I want you to see that another way that Barnabas encouraged was by faithful discipleship. He faithfully developed new leaders very thoroughly with the gospel of Christ. Now look at verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. Now remember, this is Saul of Tarsus. This is the guy that right after he got converted, Barnabas put his arm around and said, hey, I'll go with you. Let's go take care of this situation. I'm your partner. Now, when revival's taking place in Antioch, he says, I know who I need to have with me. I need to go get Saul of Tarsus. So he goes and gets Saul of Tarsus. And in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. After Barnabas witnessed what was happening in Antioch, he went to get Paul and then returned. He saw the opportunity to include a younger Christian named Paul in the exciting ministry in Antioch. And it would prove to be very important because this would be a launch pad for Paul and the rest of his ministry. I believe that Barnabas's inclusion in the new ministry of Paul was used by God to ultimately mold Paul into the great apostle Paul that he became. See, Chinese proverb you've heard says, tell me I forget, show me I'll remember, involve me and I'll understand. What did Barnabas do? He said, I'm going to reach out to a young Christian and I'm going to encourage him. But not only that, then he spent a whole year discipling these guys. He's been in an entire year teaching this new church about God's grace and power and mercy and holiness and righteousness and the gospel and salvation. And he developed them so well, get this, that it was there, the people he trained, that they were the first ones to be called followers of Christ. Amen. I like that. Amen. They weren't called the followers of Barnabas. Amen. They were called the followers of Jesus Christ. fixed upon Jehovah, or focusing our attention on Christ and leading people behind him to also fix their attention upon Jesus Christ. Faithful discipleship. They weren't called to follow him. He didn't make them just like him. He made them just like Christ. See, leadership is the discipline of deliberately exerting special influence within a group to move it towards goals of beneficial permanence that fulfills the group's real needs. And there was no greater need at the church in Antioch other than or greater than to be more like Jesus Christ. And because Barnabas faithfully discipled them, he encouraged them in their walk with God. I believe every church needs men and women who are willing to invest their lives to encourage others by faithfully and thoroughly pouring into their discipleship and developing them into future leaders. One thing I noticed about Lancaster Baptist Church is this is an area where you encourage people. And I want to encourage you, if I can, if that's not something you've banked into or invested into, do it. There's no greater way to encourage your church than to invest into new Christians and disciple them to become the leaders of the church. First place where they were called Christians, faithful discipleship. I'll show you one more. I want you to turn ahead with me to Acts chapter 15. I want you to see Barnabas also here in chapter 15 encouraged with restored relationships. Now we know the story, and you would remember that Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. They disagreed over a certain man, Mark. Barnabas thought that he was beneficial to the ministry, but Paul felt like because he had left them in a prior instance that he was no longer profitable to them. And we pick up that story there in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, we don't really follow the life of Barnabas up to any longer. We follow the life of Paul. We really don't know exactly where Barnabas went. I mean, there's some things we can assume and read, but we don't have the detailed account that Luke gave us of Paul's life. But we do know that as we read later on in Scripture, that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul wrote and said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, I believe what happened here, and I think you can have your opinion, but I guess this is where we read and understand probably what happened is this. Barnabas took John Mark with him. I think Barnabas invested some time into John Mark and developed him and brought him around in the areas that maybe he was deficient. And he played, if you will, peacemaker between the Apostle Paul and Mark. And it was because of the influence of this man named Barnabas that there was a restored relationship between Mark and Paul. What do we need in this church? What do we need in any church? We need some people who are not quick to divide, but are quick to make peace. That's Barnabas. That's the encourager. That's the man who said, "You know what? We just don't need division here. We need to unite around the gospel, and we need to build each other up." And so whether or not Paul was right or Barnabas was right, I don't really know. But I know this, that I believe because Mark spent time with the encourager, there was a restored relationship between Mark and Paul. I wonder if that would be said of you. I wonder if people are more likely to support the pastor because they know you in this church. I wonder if people are more likely to unite around the vision because of the influence that you have in their life. I wonder if that would be said of me. I wonder if somebody gave me a nickname based on my life that they would say, "Andrew Reed, he is an encourager because he makes peace in broken relationships." I'll tell you, if we are to become more like Christ, nobody is better at restoring a relationship than Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ, I want to say, is the great peacemaker between our God and us that were divided by our sin. And as we follow in the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you are never more like Christ than when you are making peace amongst the brethren. We dwell in that peace. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Endeavoring, he said in the Ephesians, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll say that it's easy to criticize. It's easy to cause division. Anybody can do it. You don't put yourself out there when you do it. You can sit in the dark in the corner and criticize and divide. But it takes this kind of a man to say, you know, I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to beat people up. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to be a Barnabas. One of the most hurtful things and attitudes and greatest hindrances to a ministry I know is criticism and comparison. But one of the greatest helps to a ministry is encouragement. You know, I read a young musician's concert was poorly received by his critics. The famous English composer John Sibelius consoled him by patting him on the shoulder and said something that I always quote. Remember, son, there is no city in the world where they have a statue to a critic. I'll tell you that nowhere are you going to be remembered by being a critic. But I'll tell you, you can make a huge impact in the mission and purpose of God in this world by being a Barnabas, by being an encourager. Booker T. Washington said, you can't hold a man down without staying down with him. We have far too important a job to do, far too many critics in the world we live in to be criticized when we come to the community of faith. So let me say two things. Thank you for being an encouragement. Thank you for sacrificially giving. Thank you for extending unconditional friendship. Thank you for humbly partnering with young ministers and ministries like mine. Thank you for faithfully discipling new believers and new preachers and new Christians. And thank you for being a peacemaker in this church. Let me say, keep being an encouragement. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to throw mud, but you can't do it without holding yourself down. The ministry of Barnabas. How do you fit into that ministry? I hope you fit well. Let's pray together.